WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. My name is Jalen Brooks, and I'm here joined by my two co-hosts, Connor Rolls and Tanner Thompson. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing quite swell as always, Jalen.
God, I hate that. I'm actually doing pretty well myself. I guess I wouldn't quite say swell. I don't exactly know what swell's standard is, but I'm doing very well.
I would imagine swell's like doing pretty good.
I think,
right?
I think it's like
swell
pretty
is always, yeah, swell's
significantly
doing
above average.
Pretty good.
Well, yeah, Connor would be the expert. He's been swell for
that
almost
is true.
A year
He's been
now.
Swell his entire life, it seems like. But
well, before we get underway, I have some exciting news. We have a great show here for us today, but also I want to introduce a new member of the student section who's going to be joining us, and you're going to be hearing from him a lot more. I'm proud to introduce Evan Cisneros.
Yes, Cisneros.
Well done.
Did I say
Jaylen.
That correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well done. Perfectly. Are you new here to the University of Alabama?
Yes, I am a freshman, and I just started at WVUA last week producing the episode, so I'm glad to be a part of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, we're proud to have you here.
Welcome aboard, my friend.
Since Thanks. This is the NFL edition of the student section, let me just go ahead and ask, who's your team?
I'm a big Dolphins fan.
Oh, wow.
Good for you,
perfect.
Man. God.
Oh, that's perfect, because actually we're going to be talking about the Dolphins a little bit later today, so I'm perfect. Definitely going to be coming back to you, okay?
All right.
All right, perfect. So starting things off, let's go ahead and talk about our first show, and the Bills and Jets, a lot to unpack right there.
Oh,
how are you guys feeling about that game?
It was a great game. The vibes were great coming into the game with Aaron Rodgers, with the American flag.
Yeah.
The way how it all happened. Everybody's getting ready for the Aaron Rodgers debut, the new Jets era. And three plays into the game, he tears his Achilles. And it's such a sad way to go out, sad way to begin the season for the Jets. But
I saw somebody say the other day that this may be the most disappointing injury we may have ever seen in terms of like an isolated one season situation. Yeah. This may be the most disappointing injury we have seen for a team with the amount that they gave up for him, for one. The amount of hype just by itself on social media and then
hard knocks.
Yep.
And also the whole narrative around the Jets last year was that the skilled positions were great, the defense was amazing, and they are a quarterback away. And then they went and got one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it.
Former league MVP.
Exactly.
Not, yeah.
I don't even know, four-time MVP, I think?
Something
along those lines. And, I mean, he just goes down like that, man. I mean, there's
– at 39 years old. And do you think there's a possibility that he comes back from this injury? Or
I don't think so. I think he's done.
There's a strong one.
You think he's come back?
Yeah. I think it's because
his
Aaron Rodgers is that's not exactly the path that I was going to go down. But again, it's the quarterback position, and I also saw there is a somewhat veteran doctor, a trainer in the NFL who's been doing it for a long time, and he said that Aaron Rodgers confidently off of an Achilles that it would likely be 40. I'm not sure what his birthday is. Doesn't matter too much.
I can tell you. Give me 1 second. But keep going.
All right, sweet. But when he comes back, he'll likely be 40. And he says that mobility-wise, which Aaron Rodgers doesn't exactly need, he said mobility-wise, he'll be more mobile than Tom Brady was at 45, which is probably pretty accurate, I would say. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not that far off. But again, Aaron Rodgers is already more athletic than Tom Brady was over his whole career. I'm not here to say that Aaron Rodgers is going to have the longevity that Tom Brady did,
right.
But I remain pretty confident. And also, I feel like we saw what he was saying about being part of the Jets organization. He was gushing about them nonstop. I think there's got to be a part of him that wants to go get this done with this team.
There's definitely going to be a part of him that wants to go get it done, but will his body let him? Achilles is one of the hardest injuries to come back from, and you're already 39 years old.
Right.
It's kind of it would be very difficult just for a normal person to come back and be the same person he was.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers uses his legs to extend plays. I mean, granted, he's not the most athletic, but still, he loves to run around in the pocket and just toss up a ball. Aaron Rodgers won't be able to do that if he has a torn Achilles coming 40 years old. So,
but you don't think Aaron Rodgers can change his game to be a pocket passer?
I think he could, but it's just an Achilles injury this late into the season.
And the physicality. Of
yeah, himself. I don't think he will come back. I would love for him to come back. Don't get me wrong, But a 40-year-old tearing his Achilles and then coming back the next year is pretty unlikely, in my opinion.
Right. And I agree, and I understand where both of you guys are coming from. And Tanner, to answer your question, his birthday is in December 2nd.
So he will be 40 the next time he's playing football.
Right.
I guess. So. Yeah.
So, and also, so let's just talk about MetLife in general. Do you think that that's a do you think this injury comes from that field? You know, there's a lot of speculation coming about. They just, before the season started, they just kind of talked it up about how they changed their turf. They went from a different, they stayed, there's still a turf field, but now it's a new turf that's now a the first ever multi-layer dual polymer monofilament fiber.
Wow. Wow. That is a... That is some fancy turf.
It's funny how I can struggle with names.
But right? got through whatever breed of grass you just said just fine.
So apparently that's like, it's not the best. It's not grass. But apparently a lot of players still feel like that's the issue. If you look at MetLife's history, just of last season alone, you had Nick Bosa go down. Or was it Nick Bosa? I mean, 2 years ago, right?
I believe so,
yeah,
yes.
Nick Bosa.
Yeah, ACL. Then you had, along with their other defensive players, Solomon Thomas. You had Kyler Fuller from the Ravens go down to his ACL. Yet Sterling Shepard, who not only tore his ACL, but also tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, to me, this kind of reminds me of that classic debate of the classic Chicago Bulls teams under Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And how all those classic Chicago Bulls teams players would get injured, like Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, Luol Deng, Kyle Korver. I'm just wondering, in your guys' opinion, do you think there's a correlation?
I think from what I have heard, or not what I've heard, from what I have seen from players who have, and again, that's been a huge narrative among players, and especially the NFLPA and stuff they want to get done when working with the NFL. Turf has been a big subject of debate, and almost every opinion you see from a player wants real grass. Almost everything I've seen. And for me personally, I mean, I have no reason to not believe these NFL players. If you're on the field and you can feel the difference in this grass versus the turf, and I can't really sit here and say that I have any reason to not believe them. That being said, you know, with Aaron Rodgers' injury specifically, when you go back and watch it, you can almost see the Achilles snap. I don't know if you've seen that slow-mo. You can see it. And in terms, I guess, in the nature of the injury, it doesn't seem like the turf impacted it necessarily because he was sick. Because it was mainly because his ankle was sandwiched under Greg Rousseau and... I don't know. I don't think that specifically was impacted by turf, but I do think that there is a correlation strong enough to make a difference and prompt a switch.
So for me, I think the turf is a big problem in the NFL because you look at most of the leagues that, I mean, most of the teams that have the turf, there's always something going wrong. I mean, MetLife, we're going to talk about MetLife right now, but everyone, you can see anyone over the league complains about MetLife stadium turf. You see, Saquon Barkley tore his ACL there.
I think so, yeah.
I know a lot of people want to bring up, oh, but there's injuries in the grass field. So, of course, there's going to be injuries in the turf field, and you kind of can't really correlate both of those.
Yeah.
But with grass, there's a lot of give. There's a lot of soil, so you can actually plant. You can, you know, just – it will hold most of the weight.
Right.
So you can actually, you know, make a move. With turf, it's like it's just completely flat.
Right.
There's no gifts. Like when his ankle got trapped, if he would have, like – been on grass, there might have been more room where his foot could have dug in a little bit more.
Okay, that doesn't make sense.
Maybe it's just like a rolled ankle or something like that, not a torn Achilles.
Right.
But because it's more like, you know, concrete or like this flat table right here, there's no give.
Yeah.
So it's just basically collapsing in on itself, which then...
That makes sense.
Just snaps the tendon.
No, that absolutely makes sense. I didn't think about that.
And one thing I wanted to mention, I know it was a rough night for the Jets, but I do want to mention that they do kind of walk away a little bit with some good news. They got the win off of a crazy Xavier Gibson punt return.
And also, I mean, over a legit team at the end of the day. It's not like they went out and just sneaked a win over the Commanders or something. You know what I mean? They went out there and the defense, good God.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second.
But yeah, man, I mean.
It's a crazy story, and especially someone who was featured on Hard Knocks. You got to see that exciting moment of him making that team. And also just a little interesting storyline. He was a two-star recruit out of high school, and now he just makes a big game-winning play in his first ever NFL game. So I think that's also pretty cool. But another thing on the terms of the Jets news, we saw one of the big deals of Aaron Rodgers going over to the going from the Packers to the Jets is one of the reasons it took so long is the compensation that the Packers were going to send over. And one of the things that took so long was the Packers, the Jets didn't want to give up a first-round pick.
Right.
So now that Aaron Rodgers is out for the season, The Jets keep their first round pick.
Right. It was something like if he needed to play 65%
percent of the games.
Wow.
So that's kind of the only good news, I guess, from the Jets kind of side. And just another interesting kind of tidbit. If you remember in the NFL draft, the Jets wanted to draft offensive tackle Broderick Jones.
Broderick Jones. Yeah.
But do you remember who drafted Jones?
The Steelers, I believe, did.
Right. You are absolutely right. And the Steelers traded with the Patriots. And the Patriots legitimately did that just so the Jets wouldn't draft that offensive lineman.
Wow, really?
And the play that Aaron Rodgers got injured on, it's because they signed 38-year-old Dwayne Brown.
I can't believe they couldn't get Dwayne Brown in that game. Man.
Yeah, because they couldn't get their draft pick. Yeah. And that's all thanks to Bill Belichick.
Still
wants a little bit of revenge on the Jets.
I want to give a lot of credit to the Jets defense and, you know, the Jets, Xavier Gibson for returning the kick and all that. But we have to look at Josh Allen and just
just about to ask you. How much credit are you giving the Jets defense or versus, you know, criticizing Josh Allen?
I want to give the Jets a lot of defense. But Josh Allen, man, I have a little comparison that I don't know if anyone will agree upon.
Let's see it.
I think Josh Allen is just a better Carson Wentz.
I've been seeing that a lot online. I don't want to go that far because I don't think Josh Allen has been more consistent.
The reason I would say this is I said a better Carson Wentz, better.
Okay.
Josh Allen, you know, he's more talented. He has Carson Wentz had the tools, but Josh Allen has insane arm strength.
Yeah,
right.
I would
insane
say he
mobility.
Has every tool that Wentz had and probably more.
But there's something up in his brain that I don't – really get, because he just loves to throw these interceptions. Ever since coming into the league, he has the most interceptions since then. So
yeah, and then we kind of knew that, especially with what he did in college. We knew the interceptions would be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But after, I guess it was
Brian Daboll
a year or so. It was Brian Daboll who he worked with. But after his first year, still struggled with the interceptions. Mm-hmm. But then Josh Allen was phenomenal in the red zone.
He was
did not miss in the red zone. He had some crazy streak without picks in the red zone. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head.
But it was
something like that. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I see what you're saying. I do agree that Josh Allen needs to face a little bit of the music a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a certain point where, I mean, we've seen the Bills, you know, get hyped up and get put in these games, and then the offense just go flat.
Josh Allen just goes flat with throwing these interceptions.
Yes, but it's Josh Allen. But the run game is also horrible.
The run game has never been great.
It's never been good. And a part of the reason that if Josh Allen has a bad game, everybody has a bad game, because Josh Allen is the Bills' offense.
Yeah.
He is that offense. And we've seen him... You know, we've seen him succeed at a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
I understand where you're coming from with the better Carson Wentz comparison. I'm glad you said better.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he's Carson Wentz.
I'll take that, thank God. But I do think that overall, I'm not going to agree, but I do see where you're coming from. I think the crash and burn needs to be a little bit more significant before I say better Carson Wentz. But yes.
I mean, how much more is crash and burn than having four turnovers against an Aaron Rodgers-less Jets that can't move the ball?
It was against an elite defense in the first
week.
Elite
defense, yes, but...
Are you comparing
Zach Wilson,
to Carson Wentz?
No, I'm just saying Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, he had, what, a couple good throws, but he was...
He could not
really run the offense like Aaron Rodgers could have.
No, he could not.
Let me tell you, Peyton Manning wanted him out that game.
Yeah, and... Yeah. Josh Allen just keeps giving the ball back to the Jets, whether it be throwing the three interceptions to Jordan Whitehead or just that fumble.
Right.
Like, you have to give some credit. At least punt the ball.
At least punt the ball.
Don't give them in great, what's it called, territory, stuff like that. It's just...
No, you're right. You are right.
If Josh Allen can just learn how to take care of the ball, I feel like he would be a top five quarterback.
And
he's not top five right now?
Ooh. As of yesterday, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's debatable. It's debatable.
I think it's tough to take a guy out of the top five for one game. This is the NFL.
But
college is
but
one
it
thing.
Happens over and over and over, fair, and over and over fair, and over and over again.
To be fair, last year when we did this podcast, I asked Connor where he had Josh Allen ranked, and he wasn't in his top five. So he's staying consistent.
Last year, you did not have him top five.
It's just the turnovers.
Yeah.
His talent is easily top five, but...
I would be really curious to hear what your top five was.
I don't remember what my top five was.
I think last year you wanted to say. I think you had Patrick Mahomes, Hurts, and then I think you had
Hurts was not my at the end of the year maybe.
Yeah, at the end of the year.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then you had Herbert and Burrow, and then you had someone else. I think it was Lamar.
Okay, that's not the worst.
I can't say he was in that order. I just know you're one and two.
Yeah, I just wanted to a quarterback that can actually take care of the ball, maybe read a defense.
That's fair. I mean, he had what? He had 14 picks last year. That's significant. 14 picks, 35 touchdowns. He did have 4,200 yards. But, I mean, and the picks have climbed. His, I would say his best season was the 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 4,500 yards.
I'm guessing Brian Daboll was the coach.
Probably. That was 2020.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
Brian
sure
Daboll
Brian Daboll was there.
Now, I can't find when the streak ended, but I was able to find that from week 13 of 2018, it was still ongoing to October 20th of 2021.
Wow.
And that's when I know it was still going. I can't find when it ended, but yeah. I'm sure it's ended by now. But
no, I mean, it's, I'm almost certain it's ended by now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely over now.
Yeah.
Now, before we go to break, I wanted to ask you guys one more last question about Josh Allen specifically. We've heard a lot of drama coming into the Bills offseason,
right,
especially particularly around Stephon Diggs.
Right.
Do you think there's any concern there after what he just saw? We know how much he's been staying out. Like, every time they leave in the postseason, he stays after and just watches the other team celebrate.
Right.
I think there was a mic'd up session of him last year. He's like, I don't know how this keeps happening. I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any concern if you're a Bills fan?
I would say so. I would say there's a little concern because it happens every year.
Yeah. I think it depends a little bit, I guess, on what my definition of concern with my NFL fandom is far different. My concern is if we're going to win five games. The Bills' concern is if they're going to go get 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what sucks is last season. Again, the season before last season, Josh Allen's coming off an incredibly good year. And if you remember that, I believe the premier game that season was Bills-Rams this past season. And the Bills looked great.
They
looked so good. And I think part of the reason they looked so great is because that offense, at least the way it was designed that first game, they were
clicking.
He was getting the snap, taking maybe two steps back and delivering a pass. It was quick, quick, quick. And that's how you really succeed consistently as an offense in this league, in my opinion. The playmaking stuff is important, but I think there's a reason that teams succeed so well with quarterbacks who don't have the same level of athleticism or playmaking as some of the premier guys. But
no, I think that's a really good point. And then I don't think I have anything to add because that was just so eloquently said.
Thanks, man. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm blushing right now.
I was going to add basically, I think there's a little bit of concern. I think it might be time for head coaching change.
I was going to say that too.
If something doesn't change this year, if they can't make it past the divisional round, maybe even the wild card. If they can't make it past the wild card, fire McDermott.
Yeah.
Divisional, if they get, maybe even if they don't get past a divisional, fire McDermott.
Yeah. The conversation has to start, I think.
Yeah, I think.
At some point.
If Brandon Staley was on the hot seat last year, I think it's about time.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's almost the exact same.
I think Brandon Staley should be fired soon, though.
Yeah.
Well, that's another conversation we'll get into. But
you're right.
While we hit the break, just a quick second, I just want to talk about our preview for when we come back. We're going to be talking about the Chiefs versus Lions. You are listening to the Student Section on WVUA 90.7.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Back to the student section on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone. I'm still here with my co-hosts, Connor Rolls and Tanner Thompson, and we are about to get part two underway. Let's go ahead and discuss the Chiefs versus Lions games. How did you guys react to that?
I was correct. The wide receivers for the Chiefs are pretty bad. Kadarius Toney, I don't expect him to have as bad as a game. I don't expect Kadarius Toney to have as bad as a game as last week. But same time, you can't be out here struggling deleting your Twitter. And then as soon as the Giants get blown out by 40 points, he comes back and just says, just starts talking trash to the Giants fan.
I don't see anything wrong with that because of how much trash Giants fans talk to him after.
But you got to be able to do something.
Personally, I know a Giants fan who I received texts throughout the game who said, LMAO, Kadarius Toney, laughing.
Well,
at
he deserves it
game.
Because he's pretty bad.
Okay, but so are the Giants. We'll get into that, though, I guess.
No, yeah, but Kadarius Toney, he needs to step up, and I think he will. Sky Moore, wow.
Yeah,
that was bad.
It was a rough showing. I mean, again, rough showing across the board. From
Rice
the
had a nice
court.
Game, though. He looked like he could be like the
Rashee Rice
number one. Yeah,
he really did look good.
Yeah, he looked good. What's his name? Noah Gray, the tight end.
Backup tight end.
He looked pretty good some points of the game. Chris Jones, who did not play, just signed a 1-year deal to come back to the team. So
big news.
I know last week I said, you know, the Chiefs are pretenders because Chris Jones was going to be out, but now he's back. So
are you still sticking with your take?
I'm sticking with the take.
Okay.
But
they're still pretenders?
I still want to say they're pretenders just because of Travis Kelce. Don't know how long he's going to be out.
He'll be out literally like next week.
I'm going to stick by my take, pretenders.
He probably will be back.
Just because their receivers are so bad.
I feel like looking at their GM and his history in the past, I feel like he's definitely going to be trying to make some moves.
If they make moves, then maybe my opinion will change. But as of right now, I don't see great talent on that wide receiver.
That's fair. I think I'm honestly call it a gut feeling, but I think Kadarius Toney picks it up in a big way. Honestly,
I do think he'll have a decent game.
That guy. In the grand scheme of the NFL, he's truly is probably, in terms of guys who can work in the open field, he's confidently top three.
Oh, without a doubt.
There's an argument for him.
He has no ACLs whatsoever. Some of the moves he'll be making, it's
ridiculous.
Crazy.
And I really do think the Chiefs, they went after him for a reason, and they targeted him a lot today. Or not today, on
Thursday.
They targeted him a lot. I think that means they show some serious trust in him. He had a slow start. But I'm pretty confident he picks up in a big way. The combination of him, again, obviously Kelce needs to come back, and he's going to. It's not like
he's busy dating Taylor Swift. You even heard?
I have not heard.
Oh, yeah. It's official today. if anyone's interested, for any Swifties out there.
Okay.
Is that actually true?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No. I was like, apparently. Wow. Because he went to the Taylor Swift. Well, now we're getting off topic. But he went to the Taylor Swift concert, and he shot his shot and like tried to like give her a bracelet with his number on it. But that was like a couple months ago. And so apparently the rumors is that they're officially now seeing each other.
Good for him, man.
Just little updates for y'all Swifties and sports fans.
Could you imagine watching Catching Kelce back in the day?
No.
And then hearing years later that it's Taylor Swift who he is with today.
That's kind of ironic, though.
That is awesome.
It's wild.
But yeah.
So let's move on to the other side of the ball.
Yeah, let's go back to football.
With the Lions. We talked about the Chiefs. The Chiefs, you know, ended up losing a close game, but they lost because of the wide receivers. And one of those reasons is because Kadarius Toney can't catch a ball. And that ball landed in Alabama alumni Brian Branch's hands.
Brian Branch. I did want the Chiefs to win that game, but seeing Brian Branch take it to the crib was awesome.
That was a great sight to see.
Yeah.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson had some pretty good plays. He had some nice hits.
You can tell that he's really influenced that defense.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
a tone setting.
Just point. A locker room standpoint. Yeah. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm really interested in this Jahmyr Gibbs-David Montgomery situation.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely Gibbs, but keep going. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I think Gibbs should be getting more of the, you know, the carries, all this stuff. He had 7 carries, and I can't remember how many yards per carry he had, but it was a substantial amount.
Right.
And you look at David Montgomery, who got substantially more carries and didn't do as much as he did with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Right.
I think his yards per carry that game was like 3 point something, which isn't
something
really
like that.
It wasn't great when you have Jahmyr Gibbs running 70 times for almost 40 yards.
I see what you're saying. I do have a slight counter to it. With those two, they fulfill two very different roles.
They do, and I agree with you.
And coming out of college, Jahmyr Gibbs, his obvious problems were that he was not at anywhere near as good in between the tackles running the ball. He was an outside zone sweep. I mean, even getting the ball on screens and things like that. He was better in the open field, but getting him the ball and letting him go get a few yards was not his strong suit. And that is David Montgomery's strong suit.
It is.
And they did the exact same. I mean, we're literally seeing a replay of Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. It's a very. Yeah. I'm not going to say that they're the same players, but role-wise and how they're probably going to be used on this team is very, very similar. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is more talented than DeAndre Swift as of right now. I'm gonna somewhat hesitantly hold that stance, but I feel pretty good about it. And Jahmyr Gibbs really had some great runs.
He did.
But again, I think they're going to continue to do exactly. Maybe Jahmyr Gibbs gets a few. Maybe there's a few more plays designed for Jahmyr Gibbs because he is such a weapon in the open field. Man, he's an unbelievable player. But I do think that they stick with their roles because, I mean, they did it all year with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift and didn't change anything. And the weaknesses are the same. I've kind of, you know, gone on the same thing here. for a second, but you know, DeAndre Swift, he was always trying to make moves and, you know, would end up getting himself in trouble going a few yards behind the line of scrimmage. Sometimes you got to go through somebody and go get the yards that you can get. And that's what David Montgomery brings in the exact same way,
but
in
with,
my opinion.
With this, I remember the offensive coordinator for the Lions coming out and say how much of a weapon Jahmyr Gibbs is. He expects him to be a 1,000-yard rusher, 500-yard receiver,
right.
Stuff like this. In the very first game, he's rarely on the field compared to David Montgomery.
Ben Johnson, right. The Lions coordinator.
Yes, thank
ben
you.
Ben Johnson's
so
great.
I'm just a little confused on why he would – I mean, maybe a smokescreen, maybe just didn't – you know, matchups didn't work out right.
Right.
But I would think if he came out and said that about Jahmyr Gibbs, he would want to actually put him in the game more. That's right. What I'm just trying to get across.
No, it's fair. It definitely could be just a, you know,
matchup.
Let him
kind of
get
thing.
Warmed up first, yeah. And increase his role as he goes on. But yeah.
Now there's rumors of Jared Goff signing an extension. Are you guys happy with that move, or how do you feel? I know you guys aren't Lions fans, but put yourself in the shoes of a Lions fan real quick.
I think it's a fine move.
Yeah, exactly.
Safe. He's
fine.
Exactly. That's who Jared Goff is. He's a fine quarterback. He's a safe quarterback. He, you know, doesn't
he's a
make
Super Bowl. Like, he can lead a team to a Super Bowl.
Exactly. He's done
he
it.
He can score 3 points in Super Bowl too.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That's a good point. but that's why you get Gibbs and you can just give it to him.
Exactly. Time. And again, also with Jared Goff, the way that offense runs, it's not dependent on the quarterback, mm-hmm. which kind of makes it a little bit more in Jared Goff's favor. But yeah, I think it's safe. I think if I'm the Lions, I may consider taking a quarterback with high upside in, you know, second, third round, maybe, or just keep an eye out
it's
at the
be
bare
a deep
minimum.
Class next
exactly.
This upcoming draft. So
if nothing else, keep an eye out, see what happens. But I am very okay with Jared Goff being re-signed. I think he goes a little under the radar nowadays. I think that'll be a good re-sign.
I think for me personally, I don't think he's a bad quarterback.
Mm.
I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's more of a middle ground quarterback where you want to feel out how your team is at first. So he's like a bridge quarterback in my opinion.
Right.
I'm not against signing him
like
to
Jameis Winston.
He's a little bit better than Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
But I would consider him re-signing him maybe for a year or two until you find a better alternative to an
that
actual
is true. The
franchise
the
quarterback.
The actual extension and contract is very important.
Yeah.
In
the I would re-sign him. I don't know about a contract extension that's worth a lot of money in a lot of years. Maybe a 1 or 2 year contract extension just to keep him here until a younger quarterback that actually has some upside to actually lead a team and be that guy comes along.
Right.
But as of right now, I'm not against just getting him for another year or two.
And speaking of another young quarterback that can prove himself to be that guy, Anthony Richardson against the Colts versus Jags, he had himself a game. Now, this might not be the most impressive game on paper, but he definitely shown some flashes and has shown that the Colts are going to be not as easy to beat this year.
Right.
If everything goes as to plan.
Absolutely. I actually have a decent amount to say about this, but Connor, do you want to start this off for Anthony Richardson?
Yeah. So when he first was coming out of college, I wasn't a big fan of him.
Right.
Just because very raw, very, very electric, very
only
high
playing
upside.
Quarterback in his senior year of high school.
Nuts.
I thought he was just very raw, you know. Arm talent, he has a crazy, like, you know, cannon. Didn't know if he had the accuracy. Didn't know if he could actually, like, you know, reel it in. His completion percentages college wasn't great.
Right.
And I was very low on him. And then I realized he went to Shane Steichen in the Colts. Mm-hmm. And Shane Steichen was the guy that developed Justin Herbert, guy that developed Jalen Hurts. He's a guy that builds his offense around his quarterback strengths. So at that point, I was like, okay, I can kind of get a little high on Anthony Richardson. I think he'll be a good quarterback as time goes on. I didn't expect him to come out and have a good game like this. There were some plays. I saw the one rollout where he hit the tight end on a little check down, and tight end caught it, but it was a very bad ball.
Yeah.
And so there were some plays like that, but there were also some plays where he had a really good, I don't want to say look off, but he threw, like, you know, a nice little dart into the middle of the field.
Right.
He had the accuracy. He had that. He could really get off the ball. I remember his first touchdown. He broke a tackle near the goal line and just walked in. So that was pretty impressive. And then his other touchdown was just a little screen pass to Michael Pittman, and he did all the work. But I would say I'm pretty high on him.
Absolutely,
I would say.
It's definitely that photographic memory definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
like that LeBron help right there.
Yeah.
Danner, what was your overall impression?
This may be a little bit of a victory lap for me, but I was higher on Anthony Richardson than
yes, you were.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that. I was higher on Anthony Richardson, excuse me, than most people, especially at the station, were.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my college football show hosts, Adrian and Elliot. They despised Anthony Richardson. And don't get me wrong, that's not unjustified. You know, the numbers don't lie. But again, I am a huge believer in the eye test and just watching the dude play. And with Anthony Richardson, obviously, he started playing quarterback as a senior in high school, which is bonkers for one. But to get to the point where he was at Florida where, and honestly, in the offense he was running, it was closer to pro style than a lot of other college football offenses. So I always thought he deserved a little bit of credit in that department. Obviously, he has every physical tool you could possibly want out of a quarterback more. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best combine a quarterback's ever had.
Possibly, yeah.
Again, we all knew that stuff was there. The accuracy stuff needed to improve. And again, I agree with everything you said about Shane Steichen. That was a huge part of what I was saying last year. I needed him to go to the Colts or else his career could go very differently.
It was basically Colts or bust for me.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
But yeah, man, I'll get a little bit more specific with the game. But again, there was some stuff where the footwork still has to change. You can see him still depending on the arm strength. And golly, the arm strength.
It's insane.
If you go back and watch that tape, man, the way that ball flies, and it looks like he's trying. I'm surprised the ball's not physically moving the receivers when it makes contact with them.
Just
like
in
that. Yeah. Exactly. Like that. You know that Peyton Manning skit where he's throwing mm-hmm. football to kids and it's taking them 5 feet out of the air? That's what I'm expecting.
One of my favorite SNL skits.
Hilarious. But that's partly what I'm expecting every time he throws this ball. And it is so effortless. It is ridiculous. Obviously, has every tool. Shane Steichen did a great job of making everything easy for him.
Yeah.
You could tell just by watching him that he wasn't really progressing through too much. He maybe was progressing through one side of the field, but he did not have to move his head too much. He was protected somewhat well, and even then, an underrated strength of Anthony Richardson is to not take sacks. That is an incredibly underrated ability that really didn't get talked about that much out of college, because if you talk about the raw, athletic –
you see all his cons and all his pros.
Exactly. You kind of jumble all the cons into one thing.
Right.
But what was strange about Anthony Richardson, but that guy does not take sacks. His pocket presence was very, very good, and that is so important, as we've seen with guys like Daniel Jones, who his biggest fallback is his pocket presence. He just doesn't know where guys are.
Yeah.
So for Anthony Richardson to, again, not make terrible mistakes, to produce what he did, shout out Shane Steichen again. I thought it was a very good – I mean, he had the best debut of any rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Pretty easily.
And
but,
I was going to say one thing. It's going to be interesting if they can get Jonathan Taylor back in that locker room.
Right.
That's going to be an interesting combo.
Absolutely.
There's rumors right now that the Ravens and Dolphins are still interested in trading for, like, Jonathan Taylor, who might come back in Week 5. But
right.
We'll see what happens there. But just before we go to break, I want to talk about the other side of the ball, just besides the Colts game. The Jags, Trevor Lawrence, another quarterback that had an outstanding show.
Trevor.
Exactly.
He is insane.
God.
Some of the throws he made were just incredible. I remember the one touchdown, to Calvin Ridley, where he just ran around, just bought time, and then Calvin Ridley was wide open, so he just set his feet and threw a dart. I'm just, wow.
And a lot of his throws that weren't where he couldn't get his feet set were absolute darts.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot get over how good I thought Trevor Lawrence was in this game. I kind of thought he was due for a last season was kind of a breakout season, but this, I think, will be his true breakout year, especially having a guy like Calvin Ridley.
A true number one.
Who also looked phenomenal.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley did not miss a step. He might have gotten better.
That combination is going to
be
lethal.
I think, to Connor's point, I think he had so much free time that he literally, and as someone who is, like as Calvin really has said, he struggled with mental issues. I think sometimes when that love of the game gets taken away from you, you only put yourself in there more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he's probably, your credit, just working on his game and so excited to get back out on the field.
Right.
And Trevor Lawrence, like you said, I think he's arrived last year.
Absolutely.
To start the season, he had a terrible, I want to say, first three games or five games maybe.
Yeah.
But after that, the Jags just absolutely flipped the
script.
Mm-hmm. And they got that upset in the wild card round against the Chargers, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that insane comeback.
I believe Trevor Lawrence's only pick was just that messed up check down that bounced up in the air and a DB went and got, I believe. I can't remember what DB was in the Colts, but I think he only had one pick. And it was kind of a, I'm not going to lie to you, it was high and the guy.
It was Tank
hands.
Bigsby. It hit Tank Bigsby.
It was on a check down. He was kind of falling down.
It's kind of like when Patrick Mahomes hit the Kadarius.
Exactly, yeah. It was, wasn't the, well, Patrick Mahomes was kind of a dime. This wasn't the greatest throw ever, but pick. It should not have been a pick. Yeah. It shouldn't have been a pick. Hit the receiver in the hands, bounced straight up in the air.
So Trevor Lawrence obviously looked amazing. Now, defensively, let's talk about the Jags.
Trayvon Walker.
I'm bad with names, so I'm sticking with you guys.
Trayvon Walker had, I think, his best game as a pro. I've seen some of his plays. He was just beating the right tackle. He lined up on both sides of the ball, I'm pretty sure.
He did, yeah.
Right. And he was just pressuring. Like, he would beat somebody with the bull rush, then a swim move, and then he would beat him with the rip move.
Yeah.
He got a lot of pressures, and then he also got a couple sacks. Was it one sack or a couple?
I believe it was one, but I'm not sure.
I want to say he got one and then half of one, but I'm not entirely
that would,
for
that
sure.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
He had one, but...
Okay.
Yeah, it was like that entire drive, he was a presence on the field. Absolutely. So I think he's definitely going to take a big leap. I know he had all the athletic tools last year.
Yeah.
He just needed to put in the actual work and refine his tools.
We're finally seeing the things that we needed to see from him.
Exactly. Last year was kind of a year. I wasn't really high on him last year. Yeah. But this year he had a really good debut.
Yeah, and he didn't, numbers wise, he really wasn't that great at Georgia. He just had an unreal combine. He's a massive human being, incredibly strong, incredibly fast. He had all the tools you wanted. You just knew he needed time, and he's had time. Yep. And so this could mean the combination of him stepping up could mean great things. I've talked about the importance of edge rushers for a team to go far in the playoffs.
Now they have Josh Allen.
That would be huge for Josh Allen and Trevon Walker to be dominant.
Yeah, and just to add to your guys' point, it's like we knew the Jags saw something in him. And like we just didn't know like exactly when we might see it. But let me if you didn't watch last night's game, you definitely missed your opportunity to see why they saw
exactly
this guy was supposed to go.
They
where
looked
he's supposed to go.
So good.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So we're gonna head to our third and final break, and when we get back, we're gonna talk about the Dolphins and Chargers games, and also the Eagles and Vikings, and maybe some other things. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, you never know.
Play it by ear.
All right, you are listening to the Student Section on WVUA 90.7 with the Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back with our final and last segment of the Student Section NFL Edition. I'm Jalen Brooks, still here with my two co-hosts, Connor Rolls and Tanner Thompson. We're about to get underway with one of our last discussions, Dolphins versus Chargers. We're going to react to that game, and where do you guys want to lead off?
Tua bounce back season.
Tua. What happened to him?
If he does not have another bad injury on the field, I think he could have a really good season.
Yeah.
If he can stay healthy, him and Tyreek, man. Tyreek. That was insane.
Unreal.
I think he might be unguardable just because of his speed.
He has to be, man. I think I can't remember. Was it us that we had a conversation about Tyreek Hill in the context of the best receiver in the league, or am I thinking of something else?
I think we had that conversation.
I think I mentioned that.
Speed again, versus overall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a one-trick pony, but it's a heck of a trick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is with Tyreek, and that is hard to do anything about.
It's hard to beat. It is.
We watched the Chargers DBs scrambling around the field, trying their absolute best, but man.
Granted, I wouldn't say Chargers have the best defense.
No,
I mean, they have Derwin James and J.C. Jackson, but other than that, it's pretty bad.
J.C. Jackson PI was going into half.
It doesn't make any sense.
It just didn't make any sense. It was just completely irresponsible. It was so blatant.
Yeah.
Hey, PI call.
It's like he wasn't like, I don't care if you see me. I'm doing this.
Yeah, exactly. So it was in such the worst possible position to do it in, too.
So I want to give a lot of credit to Tua. Just for the bounce back, that one throw on the run he had to Tyreek was insane. Tyreek had a crazy game. But at the same time, it's the Chargers and Brandon Staley in that defense. So I don't want to say.
I mean, Brandon Staley is a defensive coach.
He is?
Yeah.
So they say.
We saw what he did against the Jags, so I don't want to say.
That's fair. My problem in general with Brandon Staley is that he is so defensive. And that's why that team hasn't been able to get off the ground. Because, again, Joe Lombardi, I believe, was the OC in previous years. And it was just curls and slants. And it was just such short game stuff, which is not designed for Justin Herbert.
He wants to launch the ball 75
yards. Exactly. But, yeah, man, Tua. I really honestly want to keep gushing about Tua.
Tua just had a great game. I don't know if he'll be able to continue it because he did the same thing against the Ravens. I remember that last year.
Right.
And then it was just wasn't really the same.
Same thing with the Bills. He had a game against the Bills like that where you just – him and Tyreek were just like on that connection. Do you remember when they upset the Bills last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I just wanted to quote Brian Daboll or Dable. That's just what I say.
I think you do it on purpose at this point.
I feel like some of the names are just like, sometimes
it's just at the point where I'm like, okay, I can't say it, so I'm going to embrace it. So, but like to quote him, he said, yeah, Tua's just one of those guys that has keyhole accuracy. And if you saw that one touchdown where Tyreek, I want to say, just faded to the outside corner.
Mm-hmm. Up the right sideline.
Yeah. It was perfect. Beautiful. Yep. Oh. Beautiful ball.
His ball placement has gotten a lot better, in my opinion.
See, it was always good, man.
Yeah, that's what I have to say. I like when he was here at the University of Alabama, and I think it was who did we play? I don't remember. I can't remember who it was, but there was one pass. I think he just went deep to Jalen Waddle, and it was just over the top, like bread in the bread basket. Yeah,
that's
makes sense.
Always been his attraction, and people have found a way to hate on Tua Tagovailoa for a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely the injuries play a part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Do what?
Injuries.
And I think injuries are the valid concern, but I feel like anybody who's still sitting there saying that Tua is a bad quarterback, come on.
I don't think Tua is a bad quarterback. It's just inconsistency at some points.
Yeah.
That's my only knock on him is he's so inconsistent at times. You look at he had the keyhole accuracy this game. There's going to be other games where he misses a check down. Inconsistency is just, if he can get consistent and stay healthy, he'll be a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 5.
Yeah.
Especially with the weapons.
And the Dolphins as a whole this year. We'll have Evan talk a little bit more about it here in a second. But the Dolphins as a whole, man, if Tua stays on the field for 17 games, we know the secondary is good. They have some absolute playmakers on the defensive
Jalen
line.
Jalen Ramsey can come back.
Exactly. Yeah. Jalen Ramsey will be back soon. That team is a serious contender if Tua stays in the field. Even if he can get close to this kind of production, that is a legit.
We just don't want Skylar Thompson back on the field.
Exactly, yeah. No more.
It's so funny because Tua also, you can see it, like all the offseason work he's put in, not only with just like on his field, but off the field, like in terms of, I think now the other day he just had a second child, so maybe like being a dad, he's like,
oh wow, yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah, so now maybe more he's like more locked in like that way. I don't know if that's the reason. That's, now he's got the tattoo sleeve.
I think that's the biggest reason. Yeah. That's my number one reason for Tua's success this season. is the sleeve.
He's coming out with a little bit more like aggression this year. Kind of feels like
he was decisive, man.
Yeah, and then
he looked really good.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that soundbite back to Ryan Clark about like, because Ryan Clark made a joke about his weight. And then
I don't think I did.
Oh well, this is a clip. It was on NFL Network, and Ryan Clark made a joke about his weight. I obviously can't repeat the joke, right? But
damn, was that bad?
Yeah, it was that bad. But and so they asked Tua about it, and he pretty much just said, he could tell he was annoyed by it, and he didn't want to go into it, but he took the high road, and he was like, I don't know the ethnicity. Is he Polynesian?
Yeah.
And he was like, man, we're nice people, but we can get feisty if you want to get feisty.
Ooh.
And like that's just right. And that was before the first game. So to me, it was like, okay, he's here to set the tone.
Now we're talking.
But just to get a little bit more insight and from an actual Dolphins fan, Evan, if you want to join in here on this conversation, just give us your thoughts.
Yeah, of course. So the Dolphins, obviously, the big draw to them is the offense. They can throw the ball amazing. The run game isn't all the way there yet. Maybe if they get Jonathan Taylor coming in, they can develop that. But, you know, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, underrated name, Braxton Berrios, like those names with all that motion, they get so much space that, I mean, Tua just has to put it right there. The biggest drawback, though, is obviously the defense. You saw Austin Ekeler go for, 150 yards. It was crazy. So, once they get Jalen Ramsey back, maybe they can develop that a little bit. But right now, the defense is just Swiss cheese.
Yeah, and to add to your point, I think I saw a stat that Bradley Chubb, I think that's his name, he didn't get any rush attempts on Rashawn Slater, the left tackle for the Chargers.
That is a huge thing that I missed out on, that because Rashawn Slater was out all of last season, I believe. And that was a huge loss for them. Huge. Right. I did not even think
that was their first round pick.
And when he was in, man, his rookie year, he was so good when he was in.
Right. And it's huge. Another huge weapon for Justin Herbert. So that's why, like we talked about earlier, I think all the chips are in on Brandon Staley. So he's gotten more of the pieces back. You can't have he's got to go past the wild card if he wants to stay catcher. Yeah.
If something goes wrong, it's got to be on him at this point.
Yeah.
He has no excuses, I guess you could say. Mm.
But also going back to the Dolphins, Evan, how are you feeling about Mike McDaniels and what you've seen from him as a coach so far? Do you still Are you still high on how he's running the team and everything?
I'm real high on Mike McDaniels, especially trying to protect Tua more this season. You can see him make that first read. If it's not there, he'll quickly get it out. With all these motions, he can get people open really easily. Still, obviously, needs to work on the defense, bring in Vic Fangio, but Mike McDaniel, I think, is set to be a head coach for the Dolphins for the next 3 to 5 years, at least.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's a good guy. I don't know if you guys seen that Manning cast commercial interviewing. I can't repeat what Mike McDaniel said, but it was amazing. I love his sense of humor. He seems like a real locker room guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's definitely changed the culture of the Dolphins around. So that's going to be interesting to follow throughout the year. Just last note I wanted to say about Tua. I wanted to say that I really think that he can make a case for MVP this year. Is that too early to say?
He has jumped in the betting odds. He's tied with Patrick Mahomes right now at, I think, plus 650.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't even know that.
I mean, man, as of right now, there's no reason to say no.
Exactly.
From what we have seen, there is no reason to say that he is not a contender. Obviously, if I had to guess, Connor probably has the concerns that the injuries, which is fair, and I would probably agree with you. I don't know why I see.
But he also took jiu-jitsu this offseason to learn
how
to fall.
Oh, to learn about body control.
Yeah, learn how to fall, how to protect your neck automatically and like subconsciously.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool to see that he's gone that far. Yeah. One thing I want to ask you before we switch the topic real quick. Let's look at his draft class. Tua enters the NFL with one of the most arguable, like better draft classes for quarterbacks recently. You have Tua, you have Hurts, in no particular order.
Right.
Tua, Hurts, Burrow, Green Bay Packers quarterback.
Love.
Jordan Love. Thank you. And Justin Herbert. I just want to know, where do you guys rank those?
You lead off, Evan.
Every time they play, if it's Herbert and Tua, what's it called? Herbert and what's his name? Bengals.
Joe Burrow.
Anytime they play, this question's going to get brought up. And
absolutely, yeah.
I mean, on Sunday we saw Tua obviously outperformed Herbert, but that could also be because the Chargers try to go more towards the run game. So as developing right now, in my opinion, as a Dolphins fan, I'll say Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa. Oh, man, what's his name? Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, sweet.
And then we still have to see more from Jordan Love. I don't think he's going to get better than Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert in 4, Jordan Love in 5.
Okay, I like those ratings.
I respect that list. Personally, maybe a little bit too much, but I'm a big Herbert believer. But I really do think it's a solid list though overall. I really have no other complaints.
I'm also really high on Jordan Love. I like a lot of people think you're like I was talking to my friends and they're just like you're already high on him after like one game, the Bears game. And I was like, it's not the Bears game I'm paying attention to.
Oh, it's really
Mm-hmm. If you remember last year.
The Eagles.
He had a great game against the
Eagles.
Aaron Rodgers got, I think they were up or we were up so much that he got subbed out or he was injured.
No, he got injured.
He got some turf toe stuff or something like that.
Yeah, it was something minor, but he was subbed out for the rest of the game.
Right. Yeah. And I think the Eagles were up by like 3 scores and they put Jordan Love in and he had them come back within a 1-score game and like actually moving the ball, dimes. And I don't think that gets enough credit for what he did last year. And that was last season.
And so also, speaking of that game, that was coming off of he played the Chiefs in Kansas City, in Arrowhead Stadium. And I'm not going to lie, he got exposed by Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Again, and that was an even worse situation. That was his first game after he just got thrown to the Wolves. And I'm not going to lie, he got exposed. But for a quarterback who's in his situation where he's already been on the bench for as long as he has, and he knows that he needs something to go his way for him to be a permanent player in this league. For him to bounce back off that game and have the game that he did against the Eagles is already so impressive. That is a huge thing to see out of your quarterback, and I would love it if I'm a Packers fan.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep. What shows me that the Packers have a lot of confidence and love in the way he performed last year to keep him this year and keep him the main quarterback is once you trade Aaron Rodgers, there wasn't any speculation about going out and getting another quarterback, whether it be free agent, whether the draft, whether anything.
Right.
They said Jordan Love is our guy, which honestly showed me that maybe Jordan Love, I know he had a good game against the Eagles.
Right.
Also, like you said, against the Chiefs, it wasn't really great. So it was up in the air on if he was actually going to succeed or not.
Right.
And I think just that having trust in him and just, hey, you are the guy. I think that just shows a lot about how he was performing during the training camp and stuff like that. So
absolutely, man. They got to be huge fans of him over there. Mm-hmm. They have to be.
All right. Well, before we end the show, I'm going to ask you guys, since we have a couple minutes, we're going to just, I'm going to name the matchup for this week, and you guys just give me your take. We're just going to go really quickly. It's going to be interesting. All right.
So we're define gonna, take. Am I just giving? Am I giving
just the win?
Just
okay. So you have
just
win.
The win.
No, okay. Yeah. Nothing too out of the box. But okay. So Vikings and Eagles.
Eagles.
I'm going to say Eagles too. Yeah.
Evan.
Oh, Eagles for sure.
Eagles. Okay.
Vikings did not look great, unfortunately.
Yeah, we can talk. We can keep talk on. About that.
Next yeah.
Ravens Bengals.
I'm going to say Ravens.
I'm going to say Bengals come back and bounce back.
Ravens in a close one.
Okay, I like that. Seahawks Lions.
Good take. Lions.
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 Oh, really? I'm going to go Seahawks there.
Seahawks did not look good against the Rams.
I want some differentiation.
Well, it's like the Seahawks like also did that last year where like, you know, they weren't that good and then they came out of nowhere and like started like
that's true.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Seahawks.
That's valid.
Colts and Texans?
Give me Colts.
Yeah.
Depends on if Anthony Richardson is back because I know he got injured last game with the bone bruise.
You don't think
with the bruise of the knee. Minshew is not going to get it done. if AR is out, then give me the Texans. If he's in, give me the Colts.
Okay. I agree with Connor. If AR's in, then Colts.
Yeah, I agree with that. And to Connor's point, he says that because the Eagles went to the Super Bowl and they lost two games. And Gardner when she was in.
Yeah.
Just so bad. But Chicago, Bears and Bucks.
Bears and Bucks. Ooh.
Bears.
Bears. I'm going to say Bears in a close one.
Bucks, just because how they beat the Vikings last week. They're not a good team, but... You never know.
That's something I mentioned last
week.
That was one of my takes. I said the Bucks are going to be one of those teams that you're going to have to watch out for. And
I like
that. We saw,
I was kind of thinking that. I was just too scared to say it, to be honest with you.
I guess that's why Evan's here. He's
exactly.
Chiefs-Jags. This is who Connor said he's got them meeting up in the playoffs.
Jags look good.
I got Jags.
I want to take Jags, man.
You guys are confident.
Yeah. I'm sticking with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
That's fair.
That's a fair point. That's probably safe. Safe bet.
Very safe.
Packers and Falcons?
I'm gonna say Packers.
Give me, this is a good one. I'm gonna say probably Packers just because of their secondary.
Okay,
Packers for sure.
Yeah, I'm also gonna go with the Packers on that one. I still have a lot of questions about Atlanta. Bills and Raiders.
Bills.
I think they come back.
Raiders. Josh Allen's bad.
Wow!
I like it.
Hey man,
no bias there.
Zero bias.
Chargers and Titans.
Chargers. Titans look terrible. Ryan Tannehill is really bad.
Chargers.
Yeah. Chargers.
Chargers.
How long do you think they put in before they put in Will Levis?
I think he's got a few more. I think he's got a confident few more games.
Yeah. Okay, I would say probably at least like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to finish this up just real quick. Rams, 49ers.
49ers.
By a
lot.
Yeah, by a lot.
Cardinals and Giants.
Give me the Giants.
Give me Giants.
Back.
Giants will score more than 0 points.
Giants.
I'm going to go Cardinals. just to be different.
I love it.
Josh Dubs will get another week under his belt. He might learn
the
names of his receivers.
He's only getting better, man.
Jets, Cowboys.
Give me Cowboys, man.
Give me Cowboys, sadly.
Cowboys.
40-0 is 40-0.
Going Jets.
You're going Jets?
No Aaron Rodgers.
Oh. Why, though? Why? Just think about Dak and against that Jets defense.
Sauce Gardner's going to have 3 picks.
Oh,
don't get me wrong.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if anything, I think the Jets could maybe find a way. But I don't know. Cowboys wouldn't surprise me if they win. Commanders, Broncos. Sean Payton fell short to the Raiders. But you got to like how he came out firing onside kick.
I don't like that because that tells the team that they're not very confident. Give me Commanders.
Give me Broncos.
Commanders.
I'm also going to take Commanders. Dolphins and Patriots. Big rivalry.
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
A Dolphins fan, of course.
Dolphins, yeah.
Dolphins. All right, so we're all unanimous right there. Saints, Panthers?
Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers.
Saints.
By a mile.
Saints.
Saints. Okay, I'm going to go with the –
Say it.
Panthers.
Nice.
All right, last one, Browns versus Steelers. This is going to be a good one. We'll see if Miles Garrett's crossing anybody up. Before
I don't think this will be a good
Unreal
one. Browns.
Way.
Yeah. Browns,
though.
Browns. Steelers proved themselves they aren't them.
Yep.
All right. Sweet. Well, we're going to have to revisit this next week. We're going to have to do a tally. But that concludes our show of the Student Section NFL Edition. Thank you so much for joining us, and y'all have a wonderful night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.